The numbers told the story, they always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Good morning, Kelly.
Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the response of a man who had Colin Morikawa in a golf tournament this weekend, I do believe.
Yeah.
I guess we have to talk about that this hour, don't we?
Yeah, I guess.
So for those who are tuning in here for the first time when we get to the postseason, we will do a sort of makeshift guessing lines, but we will do so in hour number two. Chrissy will join us. We give him an extra hour to sleep in, wild card and division round weekend. So last 2 weeks of Chrissy doing the whole guessing lines thing. But we will do that, and we'll go through each game sort of the teams that have advanced in detail as we normally do in hour number two. We'll get to Survivor Talk this hour, and yes, we will get to Kelly Bidlin's, it'd be one thing if the golf season was almost over and you could take a break, Kelly, but this is how it starts. You okay?
That was my tweet to someone last night. I'm like, well, thank God the season's over. I'll take a break for a bit, reset mentally. Oh, no, it's just the beginning. Never mind.
And this on the heels of you having like 100 second-place finishes last year.
A dozen tournaments last year where I had an outright finish in second place or T-second.
All right, we'll get into the details of that. For those who are immersed in football, and you're like, what are they talking about? Well, Kelly will tell you all about it coming up. By the way, I'm functioning at about 75-80%. Thanks for asking. I think the voice will get through.
Yeah, you're still hurting, huh?
It is the slowest moving ailment in history. Glacial pace through the body.
Do we need to set a total today?
No, I'm good. I'm going to make it through today. I think we're past that stage.
If I had to set one, though, I'm going to go 832.
Okay.
30 and a half.
All right, so there's so many places to start. By the way, people are totally betting on this downstairs. If we're going to start somewhere today, and we will get into all the amazing things that happened yesterday. And by the way, let's just say this about the NFL, just macro. God, am I going to miss this in February? Like, two things can be true at the same time. One, God, am I going to miss this in February? And two, at the same time, and Kelly, I am certain I am not being prisoner of the moment here this year, but this has been consistent with all of the power rankings we've done all year long, except for last week we didn't do any for obvious reasons. But there are so many dreck teams in the NFL that I would argue that even next week, even this coming week of Wild Card Weekend, can't absorb them all.
Oh, totally.
Three will get through to division round week. There's legitimately five good teams. The rest are laden with question marks. But yeah, as I said, February I'll be dreaming of this.
Right. Yeah. No, you are absolutely right. Yeah. Me and you talk about this a lot off air, but it's the people can't hold two thoughts in their mind and say, yep. Both are absolutely true. These upcoming games this weekend are horrible.
That was
god awful.
Your first reaction when they put up the screen.
That was my first reaction.
You're like, oh my God, it really is true.
Even games that we think are going to be tight don't mean they're going to be good. Like, I don't really care to watch them.
Here, by the way, are just the overall odds, so I guess we should reset for the Super Bowl title, for conference odds. No surprise, the Chiefs, amongst the AFC teams, we'll do them in seeding form here, plus 350 to win it all are the Kansas City Chiefs. The Bills are 4-1. The Bengals are plus 850. I'm not sure if I agree necessarily with that separation between those three teams. I'd probably put the Bills more towards the middle of the Chiefs and the Bengals, but oh well, that's what it is. And then you see everybody else, starting with the Chargers, 20-1 to win it all. Cut those in half, generally speaking, to win the conference. The Dolphins, 61. That's the other thing about this postseason, which has bled in from the regular season. And again, the second most backup quarterbacks ever to start during an NFL season. We don't know who's starting at quarterback for the Dolphins. I'm going to have a line that is, you know, the Tua/Teddy Bridgewater line versus the Skylar Thompson line. We do not know what the Baltimore Ravens quarterback situation is. As of last night, Mike Florio already, you know, saying, he's tapped into the Baltimore organization, he's saying they have no idea if Lamar Jackson is playing next week against the Cincinnati Bengals. Lamar Jackson, who has missed 5 games already and obviously has the contract issues on the side. So that's the stuff in the AFC. Do we have the NFC real quick, by the way, as well?
Yeah, I believe we do. I think it's far more of an unknown on the Baltimore side.
Yes.
Don't you agree? Like, that is
I think so, but who knows?
I really don't know what to expect out of the Ravens this week in that Lamar Jackson situation. I believe Tua's not going to play.
Two is one thing because it's a concussion. You never know.
Right. Yeah.
Teddy's the finger. Eagles and Niners, both the short shots in the NFC, among NFC teams, I should say, to win the Super Bowl, plus 550 each, and then everybody else is double digits, led by the Cowboys, who could not have looked more awful yesterday. Among the many stories coming out of yesterday is how Brandon Staley, you know, decided to play everybody. You know, Keenan Allen, Joshua Palmer, they played the entire game. Justin Herbert didn't get subbed in for until the 11-plus minute mark left in the fourth quarter. And so Brandon Staley is appropriately catching the most heat. But I would argue that someone like Mike McCarthy is coming out of that unscathed. Like, I get it. The Cowboys technically had something to play for yesterday. And sure, maybe you start your regulars. But as soon as you look up at the scoreboard and you see that the Eagles are rolling against the Giants, and that your team looks god-awful, and maybe, by the way, that's the counter-argument, that your team looks so god-awful that you wanted them to stay in and get their reps. But I would argue Mike McCarthy was just as guilty as Brandon Staley, and yet he's unscathed for it. I really would. Maybe not just as, because technically they had a shot at it. But as soon as you look up at the scoreboard, the Eagles are up 19-0, and I get it, it got closer. Pull these guys. Tom Brady played for almost a half. He doesn't usually get hurt because he gets rid of the ball so quick. That's a thing. But I do think that Brandon Staley justifiably got the most of it, but he was not alone. By the way, Brandon Staley on keeping all of those players in a game that was meaningless once the Ravens lost earlier in the day.
We only get two practice squad elevations for the game, and you have to put a team out there. And you can't decide when you're having to play a football game who isn't going to play and who is going to play and how you're going to subtract this. You got to go out there and play the football game because this isn't the preseason where you have 90 guys to choose from. You only have 48 players to choose from. So you have to go out there. You have to field a football team. And so we did it the best we could. We wanted to play well in the game, and then we wanted to be safe for next week, and that's what we did.
Word salad, Kelly, is what that was.
You can't pick and choose who's not going to play. Yeah, you can. You're the head coach. You could sit your quarterback, who's a pretty dang important position.
Mike Williams carted off in the second quarter.
Joey Bosa. Groin injury. I mean, Mike Williams. I kind of rolled my eyes when I first saw him. Like, this guy can't.
Keenan Allen
cannot stay on the field together. It's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in sports. But then that was my first reaction. The second reaction, what's he doing out there in the first place?
Yeah.
Right, what is he doing out there?
And our buddy Matt Brown from Final Countdown, formerly of Primetime Action, he Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni, weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, right here in Visa. He was saying also via text, he said, you know, these guys talk about the only thing that matters is winning the Super Bowl, right? Well, if that's the only thing that matters, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yep.
What are you doing? All right, let's...
It's kind of one of those, like, I know it's a weird comparison, but it's when people freak out about the NBA and load management stuff.
Yeah.
It's, well, if I was in the coach's shoes, I can't really argue with it. I know it sucks for us as fans and bettors and all that.
Yeah.
But if that's the goal, right, the goal is to win it all, what are you doing?
Yeah, and that's basketball, right? And you're dealing with a whole generation of people who saw Michael Jordan play 82 games nearly every year and win 6 championships, so there's a whole generation of us that are going to be like, well, it's basketball play. Football's a different story. Not that you can't get hurt on a basketball court. Anyway, Brandon Staley, I wanted to love you, but good God.
It's me too.
Yeah.
Right? I think all of us gamblers, we want to love this guy. But
so let me talk about a couple awards. We'll get into all these games from yesterday and the games coming up next week, coming up on the show. And we'll talk college football with Chris Felica here momentarily, the national championship tonight. And Bud Elliott joins us for 24/7 Sports to talk about the natty between Georgia and TCU. By the way, Felica on the cusp, maybe, of winning the Humans football challenge.
Yeah.
Whew. Took a step back, though, but he's got a shot at it.
Yeah, he did enter this weekend with the lead, right?
He'll give us all the details here coming up. Yeah, I think he's got a shot. So, offensive rookie of the year, sir. Okay, before we talk about the award, let's just have a conversation as if we weren't doing a betting show. Who in your heart of hearts do you think is actually the best rookie? This is a completely side conversation, has nothing to do with the awards. Who in your heart of hearts do you think was actually the best rookie this year?
Damian Pierce.
I'm going to say George Pickens.
Okay. Okay.
I think Pickens is going to be like the best of the bunch.
I was going to say it's Damian Pierce, and then I think it's several wide receivers before I get to the next person.
Who do you think will win and should win Offensive Rookie of the Year?
I think Walker will win it. I don't know who should win it. I think it's tough.
I am convinced that Brock Purdy is going to win this award. Now, full disclosure, I have a plus 750 on Brock Purdy. Some people have better numbers. But I believe that they are so quarterback-loving voters, and justifiably so, that even having played in six games and started five of them, he is going to win this award. Yes, it would be unprecedented, but I think he's going to do it. Now, what about comeback player of the year? Who's winning that?
Geno.
I do too. On this show, we have never wavered. We think Geno Smith is going to win comeback player of the year. Now, it got a little dicey.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with Saquon winning it, but I think Geno will get it.
Geno, here's the thing. Voters have to go back to how they felt about Geno Smith before this season started. He had a career of suckitude. People made fun of him. And Geno Smith ended up setting the Seattle Seahawks franchise record for passing yards. All those Russell Wilson seasons, and I know that most of them were 16 games. But still, he sets the Seattle Seahawks passing yardage record. By the way, leads the NFC or the NFL rather in completion percentage for what that's worth. But also the Seattle Seahawks, this just in, are headed to the postseason.
Yeah, and that matters a lot.
Geno Smith is so clearly the comeback player of the year.
That's where you can't compare positions, right? On two playoff teams, you can't compare a running back to a quarterback.
To me, it's not even close. I will, after the break, before we talk to Felica, I do want to put in one comeback player of the year caveat, and it has to do with the voting mechanics. Let me say that again, the voting mechanics. Talk about that after the break. Felica joins us to talk about the Natty. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Before we get to Chris Felica, Fox's Chris Felica, Kelly, it should be noted.
That's right.
Should we refer to him that way every time we?
I believe you should. Ladies, Fox Sports is Chris Felica.
It's Fox Sports is Chris Felica. Before we get to Chris, one last word on the awards. So again, I think it's Brock Purdy, if for no other reason, because no other player really just like completely distinguished themselves in a rookie crop. And then two, about comeback player of the year, I don't think there's any doubt it's Geno Smith, but I do want to, this one caveat to this, and this is from our own Jason Weingarten, host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast, who did a little comeback player of the year research. 2015, Ryan Tannehill won with 16 first place votes to 15 for Jimmy G. So, 16 out of 50 first place votes. 2013, Philip Rivers won with 13 of 50 votes. Second and third place got 8 first place votes. Fourth got 6. In 2007, Greg Ellis, who could forget that comeback?
Oh, yeah.
Greg Ellis won with 12 votes. And in 2003, 8 first place votes out of 50 won it. So I guess just that one caveat, that the point is, it don't take much to win this award in many cases.
Yeah, I was like, can I translate this? Because speak for Jason. All it takes, Gil,
that's right,
is a few voters to believe in our center Gates.
That's right.
And that's all it's going to take to cash that ticket.
You beat me to my punchline. So it's anybody's guess who could win this. They could even be Nick Gates.
God bless Jason. Still, he's been holding out hope. Fighting this good fight all year long.
He's texting it through. He's going to get there for me. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Fox Sports' is Chris Felica. He is still the bear, cocaine bear, Chris Felica. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing better this morning than I was yesterday after the Colts, the Broncos couldn't clinch the circuit invitational for me. But no, it was a good morning. I went out and and went to the Dunkin' Donuts and got my wife a latte and my iced tea. And someone in front of me actually paid my bill. did a little pay it forward for me. So they must have known I had a bad day, and of course I paid for it myself.
So, okay. So
maybe you should go to Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts, and maybe someone will buy you a hot tea with honey and lemon for your throat.
Maybe. It's never quite happened to me, but we'll see. Okay, so I want to get to the TCU-Georgia game, but let's what you're referring to, beyond the Starbucks part, what you're referring to is, and you set it up for us, what were you going into the final weekend of the Circa Friday Football Invitational, the Matt Eumanns Invitational, as we like to call it, and where do you stand right now?
I had 51 points entering the day on Saturday, and entering the day on Monday, I had 51 points. but it's still kind of the same situation. I just need Georgia to cover 12 or the game to go under tonight, and I win because I hold all of the tiebreakers. So yeah, but if the Colts wouldn't have given up a 4th-and-20 touchdown, or Brandon Staley wouldn't have been an idiot and decide to play his players, and the Broncos could have won by 4, it would be a little less stressful than tonight. So I just need Georgia or the under tonight, and we'll get there. But part of my strategy was as well, like, you know, if it came down to this, I'd have an opportunity to kind of guarantee myself some money, whether I win this thing or not. But we're doing okay. We're feeling. I think we're going to get there. That was at least one of them.
Yeah, you could play TCU plus the points tonight if you wanted to. You could do all kinds of things on the side, I guess, is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what's your?
But I want that jacket and I want that title. Damn it.
Yes. And if you don't win, who does win? Chuck Edel wins.
I believe it's going to be Chuck Edel because he got to 52 last night with the Lions.
Okay.
Which was a great pick, and I actually considered them too. But that was a hell. And by the way, Jim Salinas, 5-0 yesterday. But and that was the great thing about the position I was in. I was playing all these guys' picks. So as I go, I was like, ooh, okay. So maybe I won't win, but at least they had good weeks, and I was playing their picks as well, just in case they did have good days. So we're okay.
All right, Salinas 5-0, Kelly. You know what that guy is? He's the sneaky freaky brother sneaking in from the rear, that guy, James Salinas.
There you go.
So good.
Damn right he is.
So good. Okay, so let's say you don't have this handicapping challenge interest on Georgia, and maybe it doesn't matter if you do or not. Let's see how you feel about this game. If I come to you from the future and I say to you, oh my God, Chris, either I say TCU won it outright or this game came down to the wire and TCU easily covered, what would be the events that happened? How would this game have gone to have reached that outcome?
It would be Georgia's secondary was completely to the future, and Quentin Johnston and Nate Nixon had big games. It would be Stetson Bennett made a couple of poor mistakes, and Joe Gillespie's defense for TCU forced him into some turnovers. It would be Darnell Washington did not play for Georgia. It would be Georgia's outside linebacker, whose name is escaping my mind right now. He did not play. I think a lot of things have to happen tonight for TCU to be in this game.
And you think that none of that will happen? You think Georgia will roll here? How do you think this actually goes?
I do. I don't think this is a very close game at all. I think this game is going to kind of mimic the way that Georgia-Tennessee regular season game went. Remember, a couple of months ago, it was like, oh, how is Georgia slow down Tennessee and Hooker and that offense? And it was just a slow, methodical beating where Georgia just kind of ran the ball right down the throat and controlled the clock, and Tennessee just could do nothing on offense. You're going to play 8 quarters, and they wouldn't score 28 points. I think it's going to kind of be the same thing tonight. I think after getting that exhale against Ohio State, I think you're going to see Georgia's offense kind of call a little bit more of a complementary kind of game plan to help their defense against a TCU offense, which can put up points. But at the same time, if you can find Kendre Miller, who's a starting running back who got hurt against Michigan, I can't see him being 100%. And he might not even play. Like, in the last month or so, he's been responsible for, 35-40% of their carries and their targets in the passing game. Like if he's not there, and that's one less weapon that Georgia's going to have to worry about. But I think you're going to see a lot of running, a lot of quarterback run, and a lot more Bowers over the middle. We've seen as well, I know, take the Ohio State game out, because Ohio State's a different animal. They're more like an SEC team in terms of roster composition. If you go back over the last couple of years when Georgia has faced a non-conference team that's been like a top 10, top 15 type team, they've really shut them down, whether it was Michigan last year, whether it was Clemson, Oregon to start the year as well. But I just have the ultimate trust that Kirby Smart and that defensive staff is going to figure out a way to slow this team down. And, yeah, I can see something along the lines of like 34-17, somewhere in that range. I unfortunately don't think it's going to be a super competitive game tonight for everyone to watch.
Is it, I mean, I'll just sort of ask this in general. Is it better in some weird way, I mean, in some sort of macro way, for TCU to make a game of this or win this outright? Like, what's the best outcome for college football as a sport? Can we even say that and answer that question?
Oh, the best outcome for the sport is TCU winning, because I think it shows that you can win a national title off of a 5-7 year last year, or whatever they were. And you really didn't overhaul the roster in the transfer portal. You don't have a bunch of five stars. It's more of the college basketball model, where you've got the upperclassmen coming back and playing all together. And you had a Heisman finalist at quarterback. But it also helps the Big 12 Conference, which is losing Texas and Oklahoma. Now you have a bell cow in TCU, which was in the Mountain West, what, 10 years ago, whatever, maybe a little longer than that by now. But they won the national championship. They beat Georgia, who has more five stars in their roster than basically anyone. You beat the defending national champion. You did it. And it kind of supports the claim as to, see, this is why we're going to expand the playoff.
Yeah.
Teams like this do deserve a shot. Teams like this can win. And the fans will be all excited about it. So, like, the best result by far would be TCU winning the national championship.
Especially on the heels of the expanded playoffs, as you say. Okay, so Chris expects a Georgia roll today. What's your number, -12.5 or -13? What'd you get it at for the contest?
I got a 12.
12.
I got it at 12. At 12. Yeah, I got it at 12.
Okay. And you're
I figured it was going to wind up closing probably tonight north of that, so I figured at least I was going to get the best. I would expect a lot of Georgia money to come in today. That's just my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong.
All right. Georgia covers or the under hits. Chris Felica is your Matt Eumanns, first annual Circa Friday Football Invitational champ. We wish you luck, man. Good luck to you. You want that belt? Rooting for you.
I do. I want the jacket. And by the way, we buried the headline. Steelers didn't make the playoffs. But Mike Tomlin still has never had a losing season.
What?
As head coach.
What?
I know.
That's impossible.
I want to hear you and
Kelly.
You get back
We got to go. Do the research on that, Kelly.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. That is $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive betting reports. VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. Become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN/subscribe. I would imagine that's VSIN.com/subscribe. Mm. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Crazy Carl. Hey, Crazy Carl's tweeting. I don't know who that is. He says, I think a tremendous amount of credit should be given to Jim Irsay. He accomplished what Miss Welton attempted on Ted Lasso. Lose on purpose by hiring an incompetent coach. Also, Ted Lasso is just okay. When people tell you it's great, judge them accordingly. Couldn't agree more on Ted Lasso, Crazy Carl. Let the hate wash over me. Blue Hen Bill. So is Lovey the only coach ever fired for winning a game? LOL. We'll get to that here momentarily. Jason H11. Kelly says, I'll take the under on Gil. He's one rant on this weekend's Plinko from completely losing his voice. Doug Wedge.
Hey, you got to set a line. I had to set a line.
I'm going to get through it. Doug Wedge. Oh, we'll get to this too, this segment. I also had Morikawa at 20-1, but never trusted it. Took Rahm at 33-1 in play when Morikawa was up by 7 strokes yesterday. He was at some ridiculous number. Rahm was the only one I thought that could ruin my day. ended up with more in my account than I would have otherwise. Well, Doug Wedge, that is not going to be received kindly by Kelly Bidlin.
Yeah.
But good for you.
I mean, good for you. I mean, yeah, I hedged off a bit too later, way later on. But I, with Morikawa up seven strokes, I don't know what made you think that he would have ever lost that thing.
Rick Ollier, Michael Jordan flu game, Kirk Gibson World Series bomb game, Gilly's voice show. Great moments in sports history. Thank you. I am a hero.
You're a hero.
A total hero. Eduardo, please crucify the Texans franchise from top to bottom. They are all stupid. You promised the fans change and to have hope, and yet let a coach who knows he's getting fired go out and screw them on the way out the door. Well, someone suggested this. I apologize for not knowing the gentleman's name or whoever it was that suggested this on Friday via Twitter, that it was going to be Lovey's shot out the door to the franchise. Like, watch this. Watch us win. Here's the thing. Fourth and 12 and fourth and 20. And on the fourth and 20, the DB mistimes his jump because I'm like, oh, that's getting picked. Touchdown. And then they go for two and win. So now there's a few things here.
Like the only fourth and 20 conversion this year, I believe. Carl sent me a couple tweets last night. It was like first fourth and 20 of the year, and then both teams converted a fourth and 10. That was the first time that happened this year.
So a couple implications, some much more serious than others. First of all, in the Megapod, what that did was it ended up closing the season, Wishnev 30-22-2, and me 30-23. And remember, I picked the Bengals-Bills game, which didn't get completed. Should I not get an extra game to put it into a tie percentage-wise? He had the Texans, I had the Colts. That's what lost it for me.
Wait, what are you saying? Should you not just get a tie added?
Should I get an extra game added in the postseason or something to try to get a percentage points tie? Because I played one less game in the end.
I don't know, man.
Okay. Here's the That's big...
Right, like, you know what I mean? I legitimately feel a little bad for these books. I never feel bad for the books. Of, like, how do you grade some of this stuff? I don't know.
So that's the, you know, tongue-in-cheek thing. The real one is Circa Survivor. Circa Survivor, yesterday, three finalists... Browna, or Brown A, not sure how you pronounce it, took the Jaguars. Jed, entry name, took the Seahawks. The Enemy Within took the Colts. Oh, boy. Now, here's the thing. As Dave Tooley, as our own Dave Tooley reports, there was some sort of side chop. Now, I suggested last week, just all take the Jaguars and go home. Split it 2,044,000 plus.
Yeah.
They did some kind of chop on the side. We don't know the details. They have an NDA. But let's say, Kelly, let's say they all agreed to split, you know, all agreed to guarantee each other $1 million each, and then they would gamble on the rest of it. That's still a lot of money, even if it's that. And if you're like, yeah, but Gilly won $1 million. Yeah, but after taxes, it's kind of like after all that, you're like, still good, but.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, Brown, here's the point. Brown A got there because of a scoop and score late for the Jaguars. Jed gets there because there was a very questionable running into the kicker call on the Rams.
All amazing.
The Seahawks were able to push overtime and get there. And in one of the more brutal bad beats ever, the Enemy Within, who remember was the guy who was a yard away in that Raiders-Pittsburgh game when Kenny Pickett got the sneak for 1 yard, he ends up losing out on this. So Brown A and Jed, Brown A who had the Jaguars and Jed, just for technical purposes, they end up splitting the pot, each of whom now gets on the ledger $3.066 million, $3,066,500 apiece, at least on the ledger. But we know that there's some chop, so it's probably a little less than that. The Enemy Within comes away with some. And by the way, there was many a hedging opportunity for all these, right? Brown A could have played the Titans plus the points. Jed could have played the Rams plus the points. And the Enemy Within could have played the Texans plus the points.
Yeah, I mean, this is how Survivor should end, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what everybody else went through the entire year. You have someone who had one unbelievable loss. And you had two other guys that won games that maybe shouldn't have got there. I mean, it all takes. You need lucky bounces to get through an entire contest.
And we went through on Friday, in case you missed it, Thursday or Friday, just how many absolute strokes of luck it required all of these entries to get there. Minimum a quarter of their seasons were just blind luck.
And isn't this the best example of, yes, this is why you get in the room with the two other guys and figure out a settlement ahead of time.
Yep. So I hope they made out. I hope the enemy within made out okay. I hope it wasn't too painful yesterday. Which brings us to something that was painful, ladies and gentlemen, and that is if you bet golf yesterday and you had Colin Morikawa, like our friend Kelly Bidlin did, oh boy. Kelly, explain what the story was heading into the final round of the Century Tournament of Champions.
Well, there wasn't much of a story, Gil, because Colin Morikawa had a co-share of the lead after round one and then breezed his way all the way into the final round, absolutely crushing the field, and went into the final round with a six-stroke lead. Final round. He goes, John Rahm's second to last group. I believe he was second to last group. He bogeys hole one. Morikawa in the final group goes up there and birdies hole one. At this point, he has a 9-stroke lead over John Rahm, an 8-stroke lead over the field. I had it on a TV until about the 7th hole. At that point, he had a 7-stroke lead over the field. And, Gil, we say never count your money early. And I was, especially after last year with all those second-place finishes, I wasn't trusting anything, but I'm like, okay, this is Morikawa is playing on an easy course. He's tearing it up. 7-stroke lead on Sunday. I need to get NFL back on this other TV. Turn it off. Flip it back on about the 13th hole. Uh-oh, starting to make up a little ground. Rahm's cut the lead to 4, I think it was.
But even after 13, I think it was 5, wasn't it? Something like that?
Yes. So like that's when I flip it on, right? It's still got a big lead. Morikawa still hasn't bogeyed at this point the entire tournament. And then it's 3 straight holes in a row. Bogey, 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 more. And then Rahm, birdie, birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie. And it starts to crash real quick.
Can we show this graph? This is Morikawa's meltdown via graph.
Yeah.
As you can see, that is unbelievable.
Those are his percentage chance to win. So the blue line Morikawa, red line Rahm. Wrote down a couple notes from this yesterday. So this is, of course, because self-deprecating, right? You have to go back and look at this stuff. So at 12:40 p.m., this is Hawaiian time, we are talking Morikawa 27 under through 8, John Rahm 21 under through 10. Okay, at that point, Morikawa 97.5% chance to win. Rahm with a 1% chance to win.
97.5 ain't 100.
It ain't 100. Skip ahead to 1:55 p.m., so an hour and 15 minutes later, we are at minus 26 apiece. This is when I hedged. Morikawa with a 61.5% chance to win. Then Rahm a 38.2% chance to win. He was a hole ahead at the time. So that's when I hedged. I took plus 180 on John Rahm. And then you take 15 minutes later, that's when Rahm moves to the favorite after he takes the lead and moves with a 74% chance to win.
Let's show the Ben Everill tweet if we could, Kelly, because this expresses it as well as anything. These are Colin Morikawa's odds after each hole yesterday. And as Ben Everill at B Everill PGA Tour says, nowhere else do you get these types of swings. Look at his number after the 10th hole.
Yep.
And then look, is still after the 13th hole, still minus 2,200 on Morikawa. And then all of a sudden, minus... Oh my God! Did that swing?
It's crazy. This is also
to the
why
point
I talked
where it's
about
40-1 in the last two holes.
Last week you were I talked about though. This tournament always makes me nervous every year. You're talking about all these guys taking time off, coming back. You have one of the strongest fields you'll see all year on one of the easiest courses. All it takes is one guy to slip up a couple times, like Morikawa did, and a really good player like Rahm can work his way back in.
My goodness, what a swing in the final five holes! We'll come back. Bud Elliott joins us to talk about the College Football National Championship next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM offering college football fans a chance to make the championship game more exciting than ever. Just log into your BetMGM account today and place a $25 point spread bet on the final game, and you'll receive a $10 site credit to use on college basketball. New to BetMGM? Download the app and sign up now to jump into the action with this special offer. Find out why college sports fans choose the king of sportsbooks during the playoffs and all season long. Make a pregame or live $25 point spread bet on the college football championship game and get a $10 site credit for college basketball. only at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Jason Sparty KY. Oh, we should probably clarify this. He goes, Cocaine Bear. Yes, it's a movie coming out. We should probably clarify that. The references sometimes get lost. Yes.
I was kind of laughing back here because I'm like, Chris just starting a brand new job. I'm sure that's what he wants to hear referenced.
Rick Ollier quote, he said, also, I had Kelly in my VSiN host fantasy league, but I lost because the rules state that you lose points when slow on the draw for ad reads. Yes, poor performance from Bidlin last Friday on the ad reads.
I hate reading on the air. I don't know what it is.
I think he just hates reading in
general. Can't read. Maybe I just can't read. I've been lying for 36 years.
Yeah. And this one, I just want to get this out because we're bringing in Bud Elliott. Motor City Mike says, I'm hearing a lot of the same takes on Georgia TCU that I did on U of M versus Georgia. Maybe he meant UM versus TCU. Don't underestimate the heart of Max Duggan. See what Bud Elliott thinks about that from 24/7 Sports and the Cover 3 podcast. Always great to check in with Bud. How you doing, man?
Guys, doing well. Just here at the coaching convention. So there's a lot of chatter going on last night over some beers as to who was going to win. And some coaches that had played one of these teams. I don't think any coach had played both. So everybody kind of has their own opinion on who will take it home. But it's been fun.
You have on the game itself, you have no play, side or total?
I played some Georgia -7 first half. I thought that was decent value. Kind of, I mean, I think there's a couple sevens out there still. They're a little more juiced. A couple props. I thought about playing under. I just kind of want to watch a little bit and maybe play some live under when that pops. But this is a really interesting matchup to me. I think I've been very pro TCU all year. I had them 28-1 to win the Big 12, and luckily was able to hedge that with Kansas State. I've really liked this TCU team and feel like I've had a pretty good read on them. But, Georgia is a bit of a different beast here, and they have a different quality of player than Michigan does.
Yeah, I had a 100-1 on Duggan to win Heisman, and I have a 14-1 on TCU to win it all. Not for 1 second have I considered that 14-1 in any way live. Like, I really, even till now, even on the doorstep of it, I think you're right. Georgia's a different animal. I asked this of Chris Velika earlier. I'll ask this of you. If tomorrow the headlines say either TCU won it all or this game came down to the wire, oh my God, what a game it was. What happened? What did TCU, what was the path for that to happen?
So I think TCU has to do what it's done most of the year, which is to hit explosive plays. TCU's got some good tackles, and they're underclassmen, but they'll probably be NFL players. So they're going to have to neutralize Georgia 101 on the outside. Georgia's edge rushers this year have not been quite as good as they've been in years past. They have to have an effective plan inside for Jalen Carter that doesn't get them burned by the blitz or elsewhere. They have to hit those explosive plays on the outside. And they probably need Stetson Bennett to throw them a ball a couple times, right? So McCarthy did that for Michigan. They scored twice off, and Michigan still scored 40-something points in that game. So they probably need some turnovers, and they need to be able to neutralize Jalen Carter on the inside and have their tackles hold up 1-on-1 on the outside. Because if they're getting beat on the outside, I think they're probably screwed, Gil, because you're not going to really block Jalen Carter 1-on-1 on the interior.
You have a couple prop bets, do you, Bud? Is that true?
Yeah, we gave this out on Cover 3 Podcast, which will be live in about 10 minutes here on our YouTube channel. But we gave out Stetson Bennett over 9.5 rushing yards. And I said I liked it up till anything that starts with a 2. I see it's getting hit a little bit. There's some, 14.5, 15.5. I think Chris just went to 17. I don't know, can we say Chris on Beeson? But I think they just went to 17. I don't think Kirby Smart is going to let Stetson Bennett throw the ball 35, 40 times in this game. I think they're going to try to scheme up open shots like Michigan did in the latter 40 minutes of that ball game, as opposed to letting him totally read it out. He's a good thrower of the football over the middle of the field, like layering the ball in front of the linebackers or in front of the safeties over the backers, right? But TCU is a tough defense to read, and there's a lot of post-snap reading for TCU that you have to be able to do as opposed to some of the pre-snap stuff, because they do so, they move so much after the snap, they show those three safety looks. I suspect that Georgia's going to be a lot of shot plays, And if not there, take off and run. So I like Stetson to run the football quite a bit.
Stetson over 9.5 yards, if that's still out there, rushing yards. Anything
yeah,
else?
Yeah, I would still play 15.
You still play 15?
Up till it starts with the two. The one other thing I would think about here, if you want to bet Georgia and what the path looks like, I think A.D. Mitchell probably has a good game. If you go back and I listen to our Dogs 24/7 podcast, right, on the 24/7 Sports Network, what was their report out of fall camp? It was that A.D. Mitchell was tearing them up in camp. And then I take note of that because it's hard to tear up Georgia's defense, right? That's a really good defense. He's the one dude in that receiving core who's probably like an NFL guy, and maybe like a high-level NFL guy if he develops. So he's back healthy. You saw a bunch of targets go to him in the semifinal. I would expect that they'll be throwing the ball a lot to A.D. Mitchell when they throw it in this ballgame.
Bud, before I let you go here, just a couple questions, because you guys at 24/7 Sports did such a great job, and Cover 3 Podcast did such a great job with the transfer portal that day. You guys were so on top of that and ahead of that, really. Do you like the state of college football now more than you did in its traditional form? Like, how do you feel about the playoff next year going into that? I'm not sure where you stand on all of the above.
Yeah, so I do like the expansion of the playoff ultimately, because I feel like, I'm selfish here. I want to work in media for about 10 more years and then retire, right? So I would like fans from all over the country to believe their team has a chance. Even if I don't really think they do, I want the fans to think that they have a chance, because that keeps the interest in the sport national. And I think TCU making the title game here is awesome. I think if every team out there, when they go to their conference title, is playing for at least some sort of shot to make it, that keeps interest in the sport longer throughout the country. Now, Gil, we have not had a team west of the Mississippi River win a national title since 05 Texas. Like, that's a huge drought, man. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, think about it, you know? And people say LSU, like, well, if you actually think about where the Mississippi River is, it's literally west of the stadium, so that thus, you know, Google it. Anyway, I just think if we maintain this sport nationally, it's good. I do think, though, that we probably need to move signing day back to the traditional signing day so that we are not – like, the NFL doesn't stage the draft, free agency, the playoff, and all the coach hire-fire season all in the same three-week span. And right now in college football, that's kind of what we have. And that is probably the number one gripe here from coaches across the sport. It's we need to make this transfer window shorter, or we need to move signing day back. You know, a lot of coaches didn't come to this, you know, the AFC conference I'm at right now, which I usually get to see all the coaches I need to see, because they're having to host transfers on campus. And they're like, look, we need to change a little bit of this. The early signing period when it was designed made some sense. And the justification for it was, okay, these kids want to have some certainty and get it locked up. The real reason for it was coaches did not want to have to babysit their kids over Christmas, right? But now with the transfer portal timing, it's kind of jacked everything up. We need to take a look at the calendar of the sport. So playoff expansion, yes. The current calendar of the sport, not so much.
But I really appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the national title game tonight.
All right, Gil. Be well.
Bud Elliott, everybody, at Bud Elliott 3. That's number 3. Cover 3 Podcast, that's number 3. Chrissy Andrews will join us at the top of the hour for our makeshift Guessing Lines Wild Card Week. We'll go through all of these games, just like we do Guessing Line style, with a look back on everything that happened yesterday. Just a couple other just sort of random football thoughts from yesterday. Kelly, Sean McVay, so we know Lovie Smith got fired. Sean McVay reportedly, I don't know, I don't want to say out the door, but rumored to perhaps be on his way out from the Rams.
Yep.
A year after winning the national championship. Winning the Super Bowl. Pardon me. Winning the Super Bowl.
That would have been impressive, too.
Both. You know what I mean.
He's done.
But let me ask you a question about that. You think, like, the media is giving him a pass on that? I think it's a little, what's the word I'm looking for?
Childish?
Lame?
Yeah.
Like, who are you, George Halas? I mean, you won. I get it. You sold out. You won a Super Bowl, and now you could be my child, and you're like, yeah, I don't want to be part of a rebuild.
I mean, that's what it is, right? It's like I can't go out any higher. And it's like, well, Bill Belichick's been doing this a long time. He won Super Bowls and is still doing it. It's kind of part of the job. So I don't know. I guess he's had enough, and he likes the idea of doing TV. So he gone.
I find it a little off-putting. Let me just say that.
Me too.
A little off-putting. By the way, I don't know if he could be my child, but
I would if I was.
He could be, technically, but I would have really done some work early.
If you're Rams ownership, who cares, right? If he's saying this stuff, I want him to leave then.
Well, yeah, and then who bounces right after that? Aaron Donald, you and I have talked about Matt Stafford. Chrissy Andrews, guessing lines, Wild Card Weekend next.